Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY23 DMCC Specialty Chemicals Limited earnings call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Mehra from TIL Advisors. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Ashley. Welcome everyone, and thank you for joining this Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of DMCC Specialty Chemicals Limited. The results and investor updates are being emailed to you and are also available on the stock exchanges. In case anyone does not have a copy of the same, please do write to us and we'll be happy to send it over to you. To take us through the results of this quarter and answer your questions, we have with us today Mr. Bimal Gokuldas, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Dilip Gokhale, Executive Director, Mr. Chirag Shah, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Omkar Mamankar, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer. We'll be starting the call with a brief overview of financial performance, which will be followed by the Q&A session. I would like to remind you all that everything said in this call reflecting any outlook for the future, which can be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with the uncertainties and risks that the company faces. These uncertainties and risks are included but not limited to what we've mentioned in our annual report, which you'll find on our company website. With that said, I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Gokuldas. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Abhishek. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our investor conference. You must have all read the results, and certainly it was a disappointing quarter. We had a reasonably good top line, but a very low EBITDA margins and profit as well. We had, in fact, a loss of 2.8 crores for the quarter. I'm sure you all have a lot of questions, but I can give you a background on the business side. So first of all, during the quarter, sometime in July, there was a sudden and significant crash in the our main raw material prices, along with many of the other commodities. The difference this time was that the crash happened within a couple of weeks, and the drop was about 65% in terms of the previous value. So this led to an immediate drop in the market, but we couldn't, you know, there is no way the customers were willing to pay on the higher price of raw material. So we had to take that loss. This is happening across sectors, in fact. And in on the market side, we had reasonably good first quarter. In the second quarter, we started noticing deferment of shipments. And because of the uncertainty and the continuing uncertainty in Europe particularly, very high energy prices in Europe, and generally people have been reducing their stocks. So the entire supply chain is being erased. So people don't want to keep any inventory, which results in lower demand, which again results in producers getting panicky and then prices coming down. That's the fact of the matter at this time. On the project side and our internal working, you know, happy to report that we've completed all our planned capex. We will, during the second part of the quarter, we completed the specialty chemicals plant at Dahej as well. So we look forward to ramping that plant up over the next few quarters. I think business-wise, the uncertainty, as I mentioned, continues. But since we are diversified across business areas, we expect the recovery to happen. I mean, once the supply chain has been made zero, it can't go further down. And we believe that we are approaching that level at this time. With that, I'd like to hand it back to Abhishek, and I'm open for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Rohit Balakrishnan from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, Rohit, go ahead.
Hi, Bimal. So, Bimal, just I'm joined maybe 2-3 minutes late, so maybe if you had shared this number in your opening commentary, I missed it. In the presentation, you mentioned there was some inventory losses and also some forex losses. So can you just quantify what kind of inventory losses did we have this time around?
Sure. What I can do is, you know, these are not exact numbers. But
sure.
I can tell you that we typically hold 1 month stock of raw materials. So assume about 5,000 tons of sulfur. And the price dropped significantly from about 35,000 rupees per ton to about 10,000 rupees per ton. So if you do the math on that, you'll see a significant reduction in value, which naturally, once the price has dropped, the customers of sulfuric acid will expect the price based on the new value. You know, that itself, you know, is about 15 crores. The other thing was the forex loss. See, we have converted some of our loans into term loans into foreign currency because there's a delta in the interest rate. But what happens when there's a devaluation of the rupee is that you have to take a mark-to-market loss in the in your books. So we have revenues in foreign currency over, you know, which will happen over the next few years. We also have payments of these loans which will happen over the next few years. So there is a balance. We have a positive balance on that. But at this time, because of the devaluation from, you know, 75 levels to about 81 levels, and we have loans of about $5 million in foreign currency, so that itself is about 3 crores in terms of forex mark-to-market loss, which we had to account for.
Got it. And in terms of this inventory loss is largely, you would assume, is in the bulk chemicals, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Got it. And given you mentioned that we've finished all our capex, so demand, assuming it comes back, inventory destocking, whatever happens, you expect them to start contributing from this quarter itself, or how do you see that outlook? I know you mentioned it's a bit uncertain, but if you can give a bit more.
Rohit, as usual, I don't like to give predictions on this. But, you know, the global situation is known to everybody. And unless there's some settlement in Ukraine, I don't see Europe coming out of this mess that they are in. And consequently, I believe that it will affect the global economy, not just the global chemical industry, to a significant extent, unless this is sorted, you know. I think everybody realizes
this. Understood. So, Bimal, just from a, I know we've been extremely conservative and given, I've been tracking the company for a while, so I know how you think. So, and for the first time in many years, we've had some debt now. I mean, at least some substantial debt. So, how are you thinking now from a, we'll have expanded depreciation also and fixed cost from a plant and also from a interest cost point of view. So what is, how are you thinking, and specifically in terms of debt, like what is the peak debt you think we'll have? Is it the peak debt, or you think there could be more given working capital issues, etc.?
So in terms of debt, I think we are at the peak. We have no significant investment plan. And even in terms of working capital, we had already reached a very high limit because of the inflated raw material prices. Now with that coming off, it eases some of that pressure as well.
Sure. And
interest has gone up, as you're aware, both in rupee terms as well as in in foreign exchange.
Correct.
But yeah, that's part of it.
Right. So, given you mentioned that Europe in general has been in a very bad shape, does it improve our competitive positioning, or do you think that's and hence we are in a better position whenever demand revives, or do you think it's right now the question of demand not being there, and that's a very bigger issue?
So I've been asked this question on different forums, and so one way to look at it is because energy costs in Europe is high,
right,
some of that business will go overseas, and India could be a beneficiary. Correct. But if the demand itself is disrupted, then the question of cost and all does not arise. So I was at a conference organized by the International Council of Chemical Associations, where you know they were hoping that the winter would be mild so that they would have enough gas to supply the entire industry. Because obviously their priority will be to heat homes.
Right. And
for that they have enough gas. But they were not sure about supplying sufficient gas to the industry. So on one hand, your competitor may not have gas. On the other hand, your customer also may not have gas. So what happens in that case? You know, so difficult to predict. So far, the winter has been mild, but you can't say what's going to happen.
Right. Right. Now, also, just on boron, you were expecting that this year should be better given the availability of boron should improve for us. So anything you'd like to share on that segment?
So, you know, it is certainly better than last year, but we are still not getting the kind of raw material we need. We are struggling all the time with the suppliers. And essentially, there is really one supplier globally, which is trying to meet everyone's needs, and it's just not enough as yet.
Okay, understood. And given all this turmoil in terms of raw material prices going up, going down, interest costs going up, I mean, from your point of view, from your vantage point, your paybacks, have they changed drastically, or do you think that 3-year payback that you have consistently mentioned, and that continues to be there?
So, you know, you don't factor in a prediction of a war in your payback calculation. So that came as a surprise to everybody.
Right.
But we do expect, I already believe that the destocking is nearly over.
Sure.
So it is not going to be destocked much further because there's nothing to destock. And by end of November or, you know, end of December, people have to start buying again, even just to maintain. We are seeing in different segments, you know, like dyes and intermediates, the pigments, they are really operating at low levels. These are our customers. So, you know, they will eventually restart. And I believe that, you know, in terms of, I can't look at it quarter on quarter and all, but in the medium term, we believe we've made the right investment where we will be the lowest cost producers anywhere in the world. So, you know, that way we are well positioned. Instead of 3 years, you may have a payback of 4 years because of the war. That's a different story. But anyway, our major investment was on the pulp chemical plant.
Right.
Where, you know, we had taken a longer term view. And that is something which we needed anyway.
Right. Right. Got it. No, fair point, Vimal. Thank you very much for answering my questions. All the very best.
Thank you. A reminder to participants to press star and one to ask a question. We have our next question from the line of Jeevan Patwa from Sahasrar Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Vimal, this is one question. So, since we are now completed all the capex, what's the revenue potential you see at the full capacity utilization? So, at the current prevailing prices, I'm saying. So, what is the total sales potential we can achieve at full capacity utilization?
So, as I had mentioned earlier, you know, of course, it depends on what price levels you consider and all that. But with our current investments, we believe that around 500 crores would be the visible top line.
Okay. Perfect. And secondly, this repair and maintenance cost has been higher actually every quarter. So is it, it's almost 3%, 4%, 5% of the top line. So why every quarter we have this cost?
Just one second. I'm just looking up that number. So we, this also I've been asked, you know, even within within the company also we have been discussing. And the thing is, we have done a lot of upgrades, and we have continued to do a lot of upgrades to the infrastructure, to the roads, to the laboratories, things like that at the location. In Dahej, of course, we are creating some things or upgrading the laboratory to meet the internationally accepted levels. And Rohar also, we are expanding a lot of the infrastructure, improving the roads, things like that. So yes, it is. It has gone up. Also, in this quarter, in October, December, we do have planned maintenance shutdown. So some of the expenses we would have made or would plan to make in the shutdown would also be done in this in the previous quarter, because you have to pay some of the advances.
Okay. So, so how long this this cost will keep coming in the end? This is continuous operation you are saying. So, are we still doing
it? Another thing you have to remember is that you are, if you compare to last year's numbers, we had no sulfuric acid plant at Dahej. We had significantly lesser operations.
Correct.
So you have to also look at that point of view. Yes, it's a new plant. Yes, it's much less maintenance than it would be at Roha. But there would still be something, you know.
Okay. Because at the top line,
I would say just wait till, you know, just wait till to get a correct picture, you'll have to see one or at least the second 6 months of this year, you know. So from October to March onwards, if you look at those numbers, which we'll publish sometime in end of April, you'll get an idea of what it's likely to be going forward.
Perfect. And now, since we're taking shutdown at Roha, but I think it should not affect too much because we will have a plant in Dahej, right? Sulfuric acid plant going in Dahej. That should not impact too much our operations.
So it will affect the operations, but I guess the impact would be much more dramatic if there would be no plant at the range.
Correct.
It would be smoothened out, because we are able to deliver between some things we are able to deliver between the two locations, but not everything. And certainly there would be a drop in the volume, but it would be much less dramatic than what it had been in the past when we had only one location.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Vimal. Thanks.
Sure.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We have our next question from the line of Aman Vij from Astute Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Vimal sir.
Mr. Aman, we are not able to hear you. Can you use the handset, please?
Good afternoon, Vimal sir.
Yeah, good afternoon, Aman. Go ahead.
My first question is on the sulfone side. So any update on the value-added sulfone part, if you can give us the DSDPS?
Yeah, so we are, as I said, doing some of the sulfones, and they continue to perform reasonably well. But again, because of the global slowdown in so many areas, not seeing the full impact.
But in terms of product stability and all those things, we were relying on one sulfone as of now. Is it the same scenario, or have the second product also started contributing?
Yeah, we have a couple of products now in line.
In sulfone?
Yes.
Division.
Yes.
Okay. If you can give the number of products in sulfone division?
Yes, number of grades, number of products. And I think we'll see, again, depends on the overall market, but from, you know, customer approval side and everything, we should have some results in the next 6 months.
Sure, sir. My second question is on our newer products which we have launched in the last 1-2 years on lacimide and theophenol. If you can give some update on the same, as well as any other new product which we have launched in the last 1-2 quarters.
Yeah, we are continuing to launch the sulfur-based products. As I said, we are not at liberty to disclose individual names. But we have been doing these in multi-purpose plants, and also now in a dedicated plant at Dahej, which we'll see ramp up in the next quarter or two.
If you can give me number of
products are based on either, you know, sulfonation, chlorosulfonation, things like that.
Sure, sir. Any number for the number of new products launched in the last 6 months?
So offhand, I know that we have done 3 products, again, smaller volumes from multipurpose plants, but we expect that they could be decent contributors to the bottom line.
Sure, sir. My final question is on the specialty portion of the business. If you can talk about what was the gross margin impact on this part of the business because of the issues you highlighted, especially the sulfur pricing crashes, and also what was the volume degrowth in this business?
So, on both things, in the specialty side, we would not have much impact of this, the change in the value, because most of them are based on contracts, you know. So we've got either written contracts or, you know, understood contracts, but they are dependent on fluctuations in the raw material. So those margins would be stable. Really get hit on the bulk side where you have no such protection. And in terms of volumes, I don't think there would be much of a degrowth in the sense, but, you know, we are looking at expanding, particularly the specialty chemicals at Dahej. That expansion may take a little longer than we would have liked because of this situation, particularly in Ukraine.
Sure, sir. So whenever this situation stabilizes and with the new CAPEX, a new plant coming up of specialty side, if we do X today, what is the business we can do in terms of, say, volume once things stabilizes?
Well, I can reveal that, you know, we've doubled the sulfuric acid. So we'll go to, you know, 2 lakh tons of sulfuric acid from 1 lakh tons. Then the other products, we are not disclosing individual product volumes.
Mm-hmm.
But as a general guideline, I can tell you that our idea was to replicate the Roha operations at Dahej. Some products being common, some products being different. But that's an idea I can give you. I can't tell you more than that.
Sure, sir. That helps. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Kumar Ashish, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Hello. Good afternoon, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon, Kumar. Go ahead.
Sir, I have just two questions. First one is that as you discussed earlier, the total amount of sale 500 crore from the current capex, that is the 100 crore. It means it 5x of asset turnover?
No, that is the total sales we will reach. If you look at the earlier numbers, so typically around 2x is what we are expecting from the
2x.
Yeah.
Okay. So how much amount has contributed in financial 23 or 24 from this capex?
So we completed the CapEx only, in different phases. The main plant got commissioned in January, the bulk chemicals plant, and other plants got recently commissioned. So not much contribution from the specialty side as yet.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We have our next question from the line of Abhishek Getam from Alpha Invesco. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Is this, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So sorry, I missed the point. So you said our bulk sulfuric plant has gone from capacity of 1 lakh to 2 lakh ton capacity, right?
So we earlier had one plant in Roha. Now we have one plant in Roha and one plant in Dahej.
Right, sir. So, yeah, Roha was 1 lakh and now Dahej is also 1 lakh.
Yes.
Yeah. And out of the Dahej 1 lakh, we'll be utilizing 50% it for the specialty, right?
Yeah. Once we get the specialties up to capacity, that is what we expect, that around 50% is consumed in-house and about 50% is sold.
Okay. And at the Roha, 1 lakh we're selling in markets.
No, even there we are consuming about 50%.
So, okay, currently on the Roha we are consuming 50%.
Yes.
Okay, understood. So, any sort of a guidance or guideline on how do we track the specialty or intermediate side of a business since we are not disclosing tonnage capacities? Right. So
you can look at the, we are disclosing the different bulk chemicals and the specialties separately. So if you look at the absolute numbers, you'll be able to track it.
Okay. But we won't be disclosing the tonnage or anything.
No.
Okay. And also on the intermediate side, sir. So this is a plant for one client, specific client, right?
So one major client would be an anchor client, but it's not exclusive.
Okay. And that capacity has now come online fully to 100%?
So we've not achieved the capacity because, we've recently commissioned the plant. It goes through some approval processes and all that. With this situation in Europe, some of the things have slowed down. But we expect that by next year, we expect to get to capacity.
Okay. And that, the intermediate plant, that can also do a 2x sort of asset turn?
Yeah, typically 2-2.5 for the specialties and about 1-1.5 for the commodities. That's what we expect.
Understood. Okay, sir. That's it from us. Thank you.
We have our next question from the line of Keval Asher from DSP Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Not very clear.
Am I audible now?
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah. So just two questions from my side. So first is, since we've completed the full capex in H1 FY23, by when do we expect it to reach to the optimum utilization, our full facility?
So under a normal situation, we would have expected that by March, April, we would achieve full capacity. Because of, as I mentioned, a lot of this products we are doing are from the market pull side. So there is demand, therefore we put it up. It's not the reverse
way.
So we have visible customers and everything. The question is whether and how much it gets delayed because of the Ukraine situation. That is an unknown.
Okay, so got it. And so the second thing is, if you can just throw some lights on which are the products do you plan to further expand? So would it be on the sulfur side or any other chemistries? Further on, what would be the size of capex, and by when do you plan to start the further capex once we reach the optimum utilization of our current facility?
Yeah, so we are still focusing on sulfur chemistry mainly, and we'll continue to do that. In terms of capex, we have no significant plans at the moment. This is our current capex cycle is complete. We have some energy recovery plans at Roha to reduce our carbon footprint and reduce our dependence on the grid. But apart from that, we have enough capacity, we believe, for the immediate time. At the most, we may consider some investments on the boron side, but nothing is final yet.
Got it, sir. Thanks and all the best for the coming years.
Thank you.
We have our next question from the line of Aman Vij from Astute Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity again. I just wanted to understand, with the shutdown coming in Q3, what will be the approximate impact on both the bulk and the specialty side of the business?
So when, it's a shutdown for about 25 days. So the Roha site would be almost totally shut. And, I can't disclose the exact numbers. But you can imagine that one-third of this quarter will be lost in Roha.
Sure. And the major impact will be on the bulk side, because specialty side we would have saved sulfuric acid, or we would have managed somehow like in the past.
So, it's not possible to stock up because you don't always have the capacity to make extra, but in this case, in the current scenario, the demand itself has slowed down. So we would be able to fulfill most of the demand. But remember this, we are not seeing great requirement from many segments of our customers at this time.
So in terms of demand, sir, is it the European demand which is broadly affected, or are you seeing slowdown in the domestic market as well?
So we do not really distinguish between the two demands because they are always interconnected. If we supply to a company in India, but that company is exporting to Europe, then if their customer is affected, it will affect us as well. So this is a global situation. It's not that you can, everything is interlinked. It's not that you can, you know, yes, we are in a better situation in India than in other countries. Our energy cost is under control. We have a growing population, things like that. But all the chemicals which would go overseas would get affected, you know, and directly or indirectly. You know, you may sell to U.S., but U.S. may have its end use. The U.S. customer may have their end use in Europe. So then what happens? You know, so it is a global problem. The situation in Ukraine is not a problem only for Ukraine or only for Europe. It's a global problem.
Sure, sir. So if you have to approximately quantify the impact on demand, is it like 10-20% or is it much more compared to, say, 1-2 quarters back?
Tough to say exactly like that, but it is significant. As I said, this, you know, different end user segments would have different impacts. You know, things which you can easily postpone the purchase, you will do. But some things like medicines, you may not be able to postpone the purchase, so you will continue to do. You may not buy a car. Instead of this year, you'll buy a car next year or after 2 years. So all the components which go into the car will get delayed. It's like that. You know, all your discretionary expenditure will get delayed.
Yeah, but on our company level, we would have done the analysis, okay, what portion is discretionary, either it is intermediate or final, versus which is still a very decent demand. So overall company level, what is your estimate in terms of demand side, which is not in your control, impact on demand?
Yeah, no, I can't give you a number offhand.
Sure, sir. Second question is on the inventory losses which we had in Q2. So is it mostly done, or do we expect some more inventory losses in Q3 as well? And when will it be over by?
You know, so we have in our accounting standards, we maintain you know, a particular system of accounting where we take a weighted average cost of the raw materials. So I think most of the impact would have been seen already in these numbers.
Sure, sir. That helps. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. As there are no more questions, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Bimal Gokuldas for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. I'd like to thank you all for attending. I know it's been a difficult quarter, but that's part of business, and that's why, you know, we have the team in place and we have to make plans to take into account all these unforeseen events. And my colleagues and I are very much here. You know, we are seeing what's happening, and, you know, rest assured that we are going to do what's in the best interest of the company. Thanks to Abhishek. Thank you for organizing this call. And look forward to better results in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of DMCC Specialty Chemicals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.